You're listening to
Fresh Ideas for Teaching.
Hi, everyone. This is Walter. The Fresh Ideas for Teaching podcast is presented by Savvis Learning Company. Today, I'm here with my colleague, Catherine Teal, who's manager on the MyView Literacy Program for grades K through 5. Catherine, who's our special guest today?
Thanks, Walter, and thank you to everyone joining us for our Teacher to Teacher podcast. While I work with the Savvis Elementary Literacy Team today, I was a public school educator for a little over 12 years. Some of my best memories are of the classroom. I'm joined today by the incredible Don Robertson, one of the Savvis Literacy Specialists. Don, tell us about your experience in teaching.
Hey, Catherine. Well, I was a classroom teacher and administrator for almost 20 years. I taught a variety of grade levels. I taught middle school. I taught fourth grade, third grade. But my favorite grade level was kindergarten. I was a kindergarten teacher in Metro National Schools. That's where the Southern accent is from. And I laugh. As a kindergarten teacher, I had more in common with my students. I am attention deficit. I hate to listen. I don't like to be still. And all day long, I was in a room of 25 people who felt the same way about the world as I did. So I think it suited me best.
I'm so happy to have you on the show today. You taught kindergarten for years. You have that fun, engaging personality that kindergarten teachers are known and loved for. You know, we're about to finish this school year up. So I just have to ask, what is one of your best end of year memories from teaching kindergarten?
Oh, my Lord. There's probably a thousand of them. One of my best memories of teaching was about a big book and a little girl named Brittany. We had a big book, and I don't even remember the name of the big book now, but it was one of those books that your kids would say, read it one more time, Mr. Robertson, read it again. If we had 5 minutes, those kids wanted me to read that big book. So I'd just read it, and they basically had it memorized. So one of my centers, I would always put the big book in the center, and I put 3 sets of white cotton gloves. Those kind of like got those little rubbery sticky things on them. And it was a big deal that you got to go to the center with 2 of your friends and turn the pages of the book and look at it. You had to use your gloves because I don't want my big books torn up. You know, those are like gold when you're a kindergarten teacher. And this little girl, Brittany, was over there by herself for some reason. And she called me over and she said, she's looking at some print at the bottom of the page. She said, Mr. Robertson, is this word so-and-so? And I said, yeah, Brittany, it is. And then she pointed to the next word and she says, is this word so-and-so? And she said another word. And then she looked at me, she said, so this next word is so-and-so. And I said, yeah. And then she started reading every word and tracking the print. And she finished the last word on the page. She stopped. She looked at me and she said, did I just learn to read? And I said, yeah, you did, honey. You just figured it out. It was like one of those magical moments that the sun shone on it. And I was like, this is what I was designed to do, witness little kids learning to read. So that's one of my best ones, one of my favorites.
Oh, my goodness. I love that. Yeah, I'm sure every teacher has those light bulb moments that stand out in their memories. My favorite from my years in the classroom was Ian, who went from like hating to write to being completely incredibly confident in what he could do. It's those things that just pull us back to the classroom and keep us going. All right, so down to business. Today, we're talking about how to reach our youngest learners during distance learning. Schools haven't been in session for almost 2 months, and that's a challenge for all students, but particularly for kindergartners. Don, what insights and suggestions can you share with us?
Well, as I said earlier, kindergarten students have short attention spans, and somewhere around 10 minutes is about what they can focus on, maybe a little more or a little less, but you can kind of think about 10 minutes. And kind of odd that you asked that. A friend of mine called me who's a kindergarten teacher and said, Don, we're about to be quarantined and I've got to do a 30-minute Zoom session with my kids every day. What on earth am I going to do? And I'm like, wow, how are you going to keep kindergarten kids focused on a Zoom for 30 minutes? And I said, well, you know what, Darcy, you're going to need to set your day up kind of like a kindergarten classroom. Do short segments of instruction, move from one thing to the next thing to the next thing. So I kind of said, why don't you set it up your day like a routine, like every Zoom call or every webinar, start off and say, all right, good afternoon, everybody. Everybody at the time, I'll count to 3. You say the day of the week it is and let all the kids say it together and then do the things like we do in circle time. What was yesterday? What's tomorrow going to be? Which is actually appropriate because since quarantine, I've kind of wondered what day it was too. So then maybe what month is it? What's today's date? What will tomorrow be, everybody? What was yesterday? And the weather is, and give them a chance to say it all together in unison, a little chaos. But if you're a kindergarten teacher, you can deal with a little chaos. And it'll be fun for some kids to say cloudy and some kids to say sunny. And then you've had a few minutes, you kind of got a routine. I said, the next thing you probably are ready to read something. And so we kind of thought maybe like a poem every day or a short text to kind of do as a read aloud or as a shared reading. The good teacher in me said, all right, you probably ought to do one think aloud where you're teaching a skill or a strategy with that. And then after you've read it once, you know what? Go back and do an echo read of it, or maybe do a read along with it. Or maybe the teacher reads one line and the kids read one line, or the girls read one line and the boys read one line and kind of reread it again. And then maybe end that text with a close read question. We always want to have a close read question every day. So you're switching up quite a bit. That was my goal for that. And so then maybe go to a scavenger hunt and put a timer on the screen and give them 15 minutes. Go to your somewhere in your house and find an object that starts with T or ends with T. So every kindergarten kid gets up, leaves the screen. They'll all kind of come back at a different time. They'll show what they've got. You can ask some questions about it. And then maybe after you've done that, you've done a little foundational skills work, you do something with math. All right, 10 more seconds, everybody. Go find something in your house that's a triangle or a circle or a square, or go find five things of something. So do a little math activity after that.
No, I love that. So you've started with this really solid routine and now you've given them a chance to get up and move, which kids definitely need to stay focused and engaged.
Exactly. Just like I do myself, I can only focus so long. It's the same way with kindergarten kids. And then I was like, maybe you'll set up a routine where they always have a piece of paper with them and dictate a high frequency word. And then you spell the word, have them write the word, have them write it with a pencil, then have them write it with an ink pen or have them write it with a crayon, kind of do rainbow writing. Do it like that virtually. Then let every kid show what they wrote. That'll be fun. And then maybe end the session with a review of what you had done. And the nice purpose of that review is that you could review positional words like first we did this, next we did that, then we did this, and you're kind of working on sequencing. And then once kids get into the routine of things, why don't you make an assignment every day? So the assignment for the first day was tomorrow's call, make sure you've gone to your house or your parking lot or whatever in your apartment where you live and bring back 6 rocks. And then one of the activities could be sort the rocks and tell us how you sorted them. So things kind of like that. A short segments of learning, doing very different things, just to kind of engage them in the learning process.
Yeah, those are all terrific ideas, all of which are actually tied to kindergarten standards and expectations. So now we've had a glimpse into the brilliant mind of Don Robertson, and I can hear our listeners thinking, I love those ideas. Do you have any more?
Oh, my Lord. Yes. I can tell you kindergarten ideas all day. That's what I loved about kindergarten. Every kid on the phone, regardless of where they live or on the webinar, can go to, you know, the parking lot of their apartment or to their backyard and get 6 or 8 sticks or twigs. And then those sticks can be sorted like brown twigs, white twigs, long ones, short ones. You know, they can sort them different ways. And if it's parents who are listening to this and they're at home, then they can give their kids directions like put this twig above that twig, make a square, make a triangle, make an arrow, make it point right, make an arrow, make it point left. And you don't have to have anything but some twigs out of the yard. Another activity is what I call guided drawing. It's kind of like Pictionary, more or less. You're giving kids directions on how to draw things. They're listening to directions and they're drawing things. Everybody in my neighborhood takes a walk every day. So today, while we're walking kids, let's see how many triangles we can count. Let's see how many sets of 3 we can find. Like there's 3 rocking chairs on the porch. That lady had 3. How many sets of 3 can we find? How many squares can we find? You could go to your cabinet and get 3 cans. Here's your task. See how many times you can find the word the on all three cans, or find the letter L or the letter D, whatever it might be. So I could go on and on, but I put people to sleep.
You know, being home this summer, my family is doing a lot of outdoor activities. So I'm totally going to steal some of your ideas to use with my own kids.
Oh, yeah. Learning can be fun. Those are fun activities to do. But you're just making kids think about it, and they don't realize they're reading when they're looking at the pork and beans can.
You know, speaking of summer, we're always concerned about the summer slide. But this year, there's even greater concern due to the interruption of in-person instruction. In normal times, how big of a concern is summer learning regression for kindergartners? And do you think it's different this year?
Well, of course, you always worry about learning regression during the summer. And probably this year, what is so serious about it is that we've been away from face-to-face instruction with kids for somewhere over, 60 days or so. And with kindergarten students, those last 60 days are somewhat magical. There's a lot that has to do with maturity and development. I used to be amazed that I would send kids to spring break, and I'd think to myself before spring break, wow, I hope you mature a lot during spring break, because otherwise you're going to struggle in first grade. And it would be the most amazing thing. Those kids would come back from spring break and they had drunk magic water, or they swam in a magic river. And all of a sudden, all those things I had tried to teach them and couldn't get it across, it was like the light bulb came on and it really clicked. So those 60 days are so monumental. And those are the 60 days we've missed, that a lot of those kids who were just mature enough to learn got a quick catch up. I had a little boy once, usually by, October-ish, everybody can recognize their name and writes their name. And I had a little boy, he just couldn't do it. He just could not. And I worked with him every day. And somewhere around mid-November, I thought, you know what, I'm going to slack off on this with you. I'm just going to kind of give you a little break here, kiddo. And let's see what's happening with you. So I quit focusing on it so much. We came back from winter holiday, January. He came to my desk immediately and said, I can write my name today. And he wrote his name. So it's a maturity thing. And so I say all of that to say regression is real. Typically, folks, research-wise, say it's 1 month to 3 months. And it typically deals with reading and it deals with math. However, I think parents today are more aware than ever of learning and the importance of getting their kids to read and asking them questions, because everybody's been homeschooling a little bit. I've kind of found it amusing, all the Instagrams and Facebook things. Some celebrity said, teachers should be paid $1 billion a day. I've just spent 20 minutes reading with my students. So I've kind of liked all of those funny sayings. So I hope homeschooling will continue this summer, almost like, oh, we're in the routine of learning. I hope it'll continue to occur.
Yeah, I saw a meme that said, if you see my kids standing in the front yard, mind your business. They're on a field trip.
Parents were driving through with their kids to for kindergarten graduation, and somebody wrote on the side of their SUV, you said my kids were a joy to teach, comma, thanks for being so kind. I hope parents will keep it up this summer, because they've been used to the routine of it, and maybe it's going to happen a little more than it would have happened, and hopefully that's going to make up for the 60 days we missed whatever it was.
I agree. I truly believe that most parents out there know how challenging teaching can be, and have made a huge effort to partner with teachers during this distance learning time. So how can parents and teachers continue to team up to help their students retain their growth over the summer?
Well, the number one thing, and I'll say this slowly and with meaning, the biggest thing to do is set up a time for learning every day. Kids love a routine, and if you have a routine that 15 to 30 minutes, you don't have to torture them, but 15 to 30 minutes every day set aside for learning, and that this is our learning activity today, be great. If it's the same time every day, but everybody lives a crazy schedule like I do, and it probably is not going to be the same time every day. But that could mean going for one of those walks and looking for vocabulary words or finding words that rhyme. Oh, I just saw a boat. What are three words that rhyme with boat? Or we just saw a dog. What's a word that rhymes with dog? Again, one of the things parents can do easily just to keep learning in front of them, you're looking for shapes, squares, circles, triangles, positional words. And of course, kids should be reading.
Yeah. Do you have any suggestions on what students and parents should be reading? Any recommendations?
Anything the kids will read that they want to read. You know, everybody at home has probably watched Frozen 15 more times in the last 60 days, or maybe 59 more times in the last 60 days. So do a little research tied to that movie, Frozen. Find out about blizzards. Find out about snow. Can you find a recipe for snow and get in the kitchen and make snow? What was that antlered animal in Frozen? It was a moose, reindeer, some something. What was it?
You know, I've seen Frozen and Frozen 2 at least a dozen times in the last week. That would be Sven, the reindeer.
So you know what? Do a little bit of research on a reindeer. And then what's the difference between Finn, is that his name, and a real reindeer? You could do a compare and contrast. See, that's a fun activity. And kids would be learning and they don't really even know that they're learning. You know, Nemo, that's another one. You can look up a clownfish. Animal Kingdom, how is Simba like a real lion? How is Simba different than a real lion? And do a little research on lions. Another thing you could do, and this would be important for kids to write a bit every day, write something. And a lot of our students are reluctant writers. So maybe it's a routine in your house. Every night before you go to bed, you write a little summary of what you've done today. Or maybe you just do a sentence starter. My favorite thing I did today was because. My favorite thing tomorrow will probably be blank because. So do a little bit of writing every day. Utilize some word games, like the neighbor has an orange cat. He could also be a hungry cat, a fiery cat, a mean cat, a nice cat. You're teaching adjectives. And my favorite thing, your name is Catherine. If your name started with duh, you would be who? Whom? Who?
Catherine.
Catherine. And if your name started with Z, who would you be?
Catherine. I like that one.
See how much fun that is? Yeah. So learning can be fun. And those are great activities to keep learning in front of kids.
Awesome. All right. So let's talk big picture. What are the general learning areas that parents should focus on this summer?
Reading and math. 15 to 20 minutes, 30 minutes if your kids will do it. Cook together, find a recipe, let the kids read the recipe, pick the recipe they want to do, and then all the vocabulary you can do while you're cooking. I'm stirring slowly. I'm stirring fast. I'm put this above it, to put this below it. If you've got a little flair for drama, pretend that you're putting on a cooking show for somebody and let a kid write a little opening. Today, we're making macaroni and cheese. And let them write that and read that aloud and then kind of talk in TV language. That'll help you with a lot of vocabulary. Everybody's looking for an adventure. I live near the Smoky Mountains. Even as an old man, I love to go out and find a black bear every time I go to the mountains or an elk. And so get your kids to do a little research on black bears so that somebody can be an expert on black bears. Where do they live? What do they eat? How long do they sleep every day? What do I do if one chases me? Or you've gone to the Smoky Mountains and you saw an elk and then come back home. Well, let's read and find out about that elk. How does he walk around all day? Does he lay down when he's in? Tie it to real life. Try to make learning fun. That's a great way to keep that in front of kids all summer long.
I love that. So we've been talking about kids and making sure that we don't fall victim to that summer slide as they're wrapping up kindergarten and heading to first grade. But what about kids who are getting ready to enter kindergarten? How do parents of those kids begin to prepare them?
All right. You're putting me in mind. I always, at the end of the year, I would always invite my next year's parents in May and their kids. And so off the top of my head, here's the things I said. Recognize letters and sounds. Recognize numbers 1 to 10. Nowadays, basic computer skills. A skill that kids come to school not knowing, how to cut with scissors. A lot of kids don't do that as much as they used to. Rhyming words, shapes and colors, how to hold a book. If you're a parent and you're reading to kids, track the print while you're reading. that begins to show them a sense of that. And every teacher in the world would love a parent if they would teach their kids to follow three or four directions at once. Like, I want you to go upstairs, put on your pajamas, put your dirty clothes in the hamper, brush your teeth, and find a book you like. This morning, I want you to feed the dog. I want you to walk the dog, and then go outside and bring in the recycling bin. Give them three or four directions to follow. Simon Says, that's a great game, but rather than just one thing, like touch your head, then your shoulder, bend your knee, and then touch your toes.
Any favorite books you can suggest for getting ready for kindergarten?
There's a ton of books out there for how to start the school year. And one of my favorites, Ms. Benderson Gets Ready for Kindergarten by Joseph Slate. I love The Kissing Hand. Every Kid is a Little Scared. That's a cute book by Audrey Penn. I love David Goes to School, but there's a ton of great books for the beginning of the school year. And all of those are good. They're good conversation starters that you've got a little frame of reference that when school starts and they're a little skittish, they've got a frame of reference. You can remember the raccoon. I'm going to do the same thing for, yeah.
You know, my kids love The Kissing Hand. And as a mom sending twins to kindergarten, I was more than happy to oblige right before they went into the door.
Of course.
Yeah. Are there any other books on your summer reading list for kids?
You know what? There's an old favorite of mine. Of course, I'm from the South. The Relatives Came, Cynthia Ryland. I loved that book. Friends Stick Together, Hannah Harrison. Those are all fun. Great game. Stella Luna. Oh, my gosh. Who doesn't love Stella Luna? I could read it a thousand times.
So we've talked about the end of the year. We've planned for summer learning. Now let's take the last few minutes to think about the joy and excitement of starting a new school year. What's the best thing about teaching kindergarten at the beginning of the year?
Oh, my word. The beginning of the year for kindergarten is the best ever. Here's what I love about it. Somebody has spent 5 years equipping this little human to navigate life on their own. And they come to the kindergarten classroom and all of a sudden, all those things you've invested of them in them has to come to fruition. And it's so fun to look at those little humans. And some kids can solve their own problems and know exactly what to do. And they're so good at it, they can solve other people's problems as well at 5 years old. There are some kids you can tell, somebody's done all your thinking for you your entire life. Thank goodness your head is attached to your body. You know, and then you see other kids help them. And it's kind of fun to watch those little humanoids navigate life, what their personality is, how they deal with others, conflict. Are they peacemakers or problem solvers? And I love that. Personally, I'm not an intrinsically motivated person. Like, if I want to go on a diet and I have a salad one night, I expect to wake up the next morning and I've lost 10 pounds. And so I'm not intrinsically motivated to diet. What I loved about kindergarten was how measurable it was. Like, I'd get these little kids and some didn't know the difference between a letter and a number. And my goodness, by mid-September, they knew the difference between the two. They came to school. They didn't know any high-frequency words at all. And along about October, wow, this kid knows 10 high-frequency words. These kids couldn't write their name. They didn't recognize their name. And now I see they recognize their name. It's like Brittany. She wasn't reading, and we worked on it a little bit, and then she could read. I could measure what I had contributed to that child. And being a person who isn't intrinsically motivated, I need to see results instantly and literally day by day. You can see what happens in kindergarten from day one to day two. Somebody cried on Monday and Tuesday. They came Wednesday with a smile. You've already made success. You've figured out how to make them comfortable at kindergarten. It's the best ever.
Well, thank you again, Don. I have so enjoyed our time together and hearing all of your insights about our little kindergartners, and I'm sure it will be useful for all of our listeners. And to our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in to our Teacher to Teacher podcast. Be sure to join us next time as we talk to another amazing educator, Karen Miller, who will be discussing maintaining collaboration with your teaching teammates when you can't be together in the same building. That's all for today. Take care, stay safe, and happy teaching.
This podcast is presented by Savvis Learning Company, a next-generation learning company providing award-winning solutions for grades pre-K through 12. Visit savvis.com today. Learn with us.